This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Rapidly changing events in the Rod Rosenstein world, or Stein world, excuse me. I heard over the weekend that he says it's fine to pronounce it either way. I had heard some weeks ago, maybe months ago, actually, that, you know, in the right-wing world it was Steen, and in the real world it was Stein, and who knows, I don't know. But in any case, I had been sort of half keeping an eye on this, and I thought Rachel Brand was going to be the person up next, you know, who would follow him. Turns out she actually left some months ago to go to Walmart, so there's a whole new order of secession. There's also stories that he's not resigning. There's also MoveOn.org has this webpage called TrumpIsNotAboveTheLaw.org, and they have now 400,000 people in 900 cities who have RSVP'd and said, we will go into the streets if Rosenstein is fired. Now, I don't know if Trump saying that he has an excuse to fire Rosenstein, you know, this comment about wearing a wire, if that's going to change that or not. I don't know what's going to happen to the math on that. So we've got that going on. At the same time, the Kavanaugh hearing is going on. And Maya Ragu is on the line with us. She is the director of workplace equality and the senior counsel to the National Women's Law Center. NWLC.org is the website. You can tweet her at Maya, M-A-Y-A underscore R-A-G-H-U. And Maya, am I saying your name right and everything? Whoop, Maya, I'm sorry, I've got you on, there we go, hybrid two. Maya, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey,
yes, I can.
Am I saying everything right?
Hi. Yes.
Okay, great. First of all, we wanted to talk about, in part, I think, you know, why women don't report these kinds of things. And at a certain level, I mean, all we have to do is look at what's going on.
Right.
You know,
the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but also there's this project, and I believe this is your group, the National Women's Law Center, the Believe Survivors, the hashtag, and this walkout today at 1 p.m.
That's right. It's a national walkout and moment of solidarity with Dr. Blasey Ford, with Deborah Ramirez, and with all survivors to show them that we believe them. They have support and they have allies.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to speak to women who don't report these kinds of things? And, you know, when, in particular, when you've got powerful men like this, I mean, you know, Kavanaugh will become arguably more powerful than a president in some regards. You know, the ability to actually strike down laws, change the nature and character of America. And he's got, therefore, very powerful allies and people who want, you know, a piece of him or that sort of thing. I mean that, you know, that own him and will do things on his behalf, basically, to protect him.
That's right. And, you know, what we've seen over the last 2 weeks is what's being replicated across the country and what's been going on for years, which is that for survivors, they run a very real risk of coming forward. It's a risk to their personal safety, to that of their family and their friends. You see that Dr. Blasey Ford and her family are receiving death threats. There's a fear of retaliation from their community, from their jobs and losing their jobs. And, you know, there's a lot of fear. There's a fear of not being believed, not being taken seriously, for having their motives questioned. Why are you coming in? Why are you speaking up now? Why didn't you speak up before? You're making this up. And, you know, there's also some shame, and there's a lot of victim blaming that people very rightly fear. So there are a lot of reasons that fear drives that decision. And I want to also say, you know, there are a lot of survivors who come from particular communities from whom going to law enforcement is a very complicated and fraught decision. So, you know, communities of color, especially African Americans, LGBTQ individuals, immigrants to this country, all have very good reasons for maybe not wanting to report to law enforcement when they're the victims of sexual violence. The other thing is that, you know, everyone experiences trauma differently. We know from the medical experts and professionals that it impacts everyone differently. Survivors respond to and process trauma differently. It's got short-term impacts. There are long-term physical and emotional and psychological impacts. So that also plays a role in terms of why some survivors don't come forward immediately or, in fact, at all.
Right. And then, meanwhile, we've got now, I've gotten several emails from right-wing sources, or people have forwarded actually to me emails that they've gotten from listservs and things that they're parts of, you know, suggesting that this is all an effort to take down Trump, that, you know, that Kavanaugh now will understand how bad Clarence Thomas had it, and, you know, we're sick and tired of these not just women, but liberals trying to take down, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How is this? I realize, you know, you're an attorney with the National Women's Law Center, but I'm curious your thoughts on how this is playing out, the politics of this are playing out, and how they're playing out now versus, I think it was 91, was Clarence Thomas, in terms of the changes that we've seen in our culture, not just the recent Me Too, but, you know, just that. I mean, it's been, what, 25, 30 years, something like that? It's been a while. And society presumably has gotten more enlightened. So what are your thoughts on that?
That was our hope, and certainly the last year in particular provided examples of how maybe our culture and our attitudes towards survivors of sexual harassment and sexual assault were changing. But, you know, given the experience of Dr. Blasey Ford, it almost seems like it hasn't, unfortunately. You know, we will not stand by if they re-traumatize a survivor in public on national television. We hope they've learned some lessons from the terrible treatment of Anita Hill in 1991. You know, the all-male Republican members of the Senate Judiciary Committee seemed not to have learned from that historic mistake, and they're trying to do the same thing, or worse, to Dr. Blasey Ford. You know, the Senate Republican leadership knew about the new allegation, early last week, but instead of halting the confirmation process and calling for an investigation, they instead called for the vote to be pushed up in an effort to get their guy on the court. They are politicizing a survivor's pain.
Oh, and apparently, if I may interrupt, they called for moving up the date of the vote when they learned that there was a second accuser coming forward.
The
Republicans knew this before all the rest of us knew it.
Right.
And
exactly.
And they were, I think they were trying to bury that. I mean, it certainly looks that way.
Right, exactly. Instead of calling for a fair, impartial, nonpartisan investigation to, you know, to uncover the facts on which their decision should be based, what we're seeing now is, you know, the survivors who have come forward are being put on trial, and that's not right. It's Brett Kavanaugh's fitness for this position to be a Supreme Court justice that's at issue. This is a job interview for him, and instead, the Senate Republicans are just trying to ram it through without any process.
Yeah, and then back, I believe it was during the Reagan administration, Douglas Ginsburg was nominated for the Supreme Court, and it came out that he had smoked pot in high school and in college, and, you know, he withdrew his nomination. That was enough. Now, you know, pot is you know, I don't think pot was even that big a deal back then, frankly. As you know, compared to this, I'm so surprised that he hasn't just said. Of course, I guess you know. Okay, that's it. I'm out of here. But I guess that would be interpreted as an admission of guilt, and he doesn't want to go there. So why? But then that raises the question: why isn't Brett Kavanaugh himself calling for an FBI investigation? You know, why is it that the women coming forward are saying, yes, bring in the FBI, we know, 5 years in prison if you lie to the FBI, bring them in, we want to talk to them. And Kavanaugh and the Republicans are saying, no, we don't want the FBI anywhere near this thing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if they continue to go forward with this hearing on Thursday, the Republicans and their allies must clear a very, very high bar. You know, everyone is watching. A lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court is at stake. And if they circumvent that process or an investigation, it devalues the promise of justice for the millions of survivors in this country, especially young women and girls. What kind of message is that sending to them that your experience, your pain isn't important. What's important is the career of powerful men.
And that seems to be the principal focus of the Republican Party right now. Maya, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great talking with you. And Maya Raghu, she is the Director of Workplace Equality and Senior Counsel of the National Women's Law Center, NWLC.org. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
We'll be back with more of the news of the day. We're following this thing with Rosenstein, and we'll keep you up to date on that. Your thoughts on where this will go right after this. And welcome back. Remarkable. Mike in Los Angeles listening to us on KPFK. And by the way, especially for our KPFK listeners, October 27th, about 4 weeks from now, I'm going to be at the Warner Grand Theater in Los Angeles. We're going to do a town hall style conversation. Greg Palast is going to be with me. You can reserve your seats at kpfk.org. Mike, what's up?
Yeah, that's where I saw the Ten Commandments when I was a little kid, the Warner Theater.
Oh, really?
Anyway, yeah.
The old the Charlton Heston movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Anyway, I just wanted to explain why the GOP convinced me last week that they believe Professor Blasey Ford's story. First, they said it absolutely didn't happen because no criminal complaint was filed at the time. And then, well, it probably didn't happen, but even if it did, he was only 17. And then it was, it was his evil twin. Now, if these Putin apparatchiks, who were formerly known as the GOP, had actually disbelieved the professor's story, as of last week, the FBI investigation would have been finished, and they would have been waiving a positive polygraph exam for Kavanaugh and Judge. The importance to them of getting Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court is that he is Trump's get-out-of-jail-free card, at least one out of nine, as to whatever comes out of the Mueller investigation.
Well, one strong advocate who, we don't know the opinion of the other four conservatives on the court, although Thomas, you know, his wife worked, I assume she still does, worked for the Heritage Foundation, took hundreds of thousands of dollars from them. So, having him on the court, even if he individually can't stop an investigation, he might be able to lobby effectively for stopping an investigation.
Yeah, but I think the GOP is going to be in the same position that the Democratic Party was during the Civil War as a result of the Mueller investigation. Are you really for the United States or are you for this foreign power? And they seem to be rolling over for anything Trump wants.
Yeah, well, and you compound that with the reports out. There's a new book out. In fact, we're trying to get the author on right now, suggesting that if the Russians had not intervened in the election, Hillary Clinton would be president right now. Full stop. And so then we have this struggle, and I want to get into this in some length and depth in our second hour today. If we have an illegitimate president, what does that mean? I mean, what do we do with that? But because it's not contemplated anywhere in the Constitution, to the best of my knowledge.
Except impeachment.
Yeah, yeah, if you would consider that a high crime or misdemeanor, and I think we definitely could. So, yep, we'll see where it goes. Mike, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
It's good to hear from you, and thanks for listening to us on KPFK. This sinister, this Chuck Grassley apparently knew that the second woman was going to be coming out. Ronan Farrow and Jane Mayer are reporting about Deborah Ramirez and her allegation that Kavanaugh exposed himself to her at a party in college. Now, this was Yale University. This was not high school. And as soon as the Republicans learned about this, did they go out and say, hey, there's a new allegation. We should have an investigation. Hey, let's call the FBI. Maybe she's lying. Let's call the FBI. No, instead, which is what, you know, how if Republicans were inclined to look for the truth and they actually thought that these women were lying, that's what they would do. But obviously they know that these women are probably telling the truth, almost certainly. I mean, you know, why would you not? And now you got Michael Avenatti with a third accuser. It's getting interesting. We'll be back. So this fascinating website, it's apparently put on by moveon.org, and it's titled, Nobody is Above the Law, Mueller Firing Rapid Response. Now, this is not around, well, actually, here, this is from their front page. Donald Trump could be preparing to put himself above the law. We won't allow it. Trump will create a constitutional crisis if he fires Special Counsel Robert Mueller or Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who oversees Mueller, or attempts to compromise the investigation by other means. Our response in the hours following a potential power grab will dictate what happens next, whether Congress will stand up to Trump or allow him to move our democracy toward authoritarianism. That's why we're preparing to hold emergency Nobody is above the law rallies around the country in the event that they're needed, 900 plus of them and counting in every state with 400,000 RSVPs to date. Please join us, enter your zip code in the search field, and you agree to engage in nonviolent peace, you know, et cetera. So the website is trumpisnotabovethelaw.org. trumpisnotabovethelaw.org, if you want to check this out. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Michael Avenatti now says he represents a third woman who has credible information, both about Brett Kavanaugh and about his high school buddy, Mark Judge, who is now a right-wing author or blogger or writer or curmudgeon or something. He's written, he wrote a book, kind of an autobiography, apparently, talking about his alcohol-fueled teenage years. This is what Avenatti wrote. He tweeted this. I represent a woman with credible information regarding Judge Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. We will be demanding the opportunity to present testimony to the committee and will likewise be demanding that Judge and others be subpoenaed to testify. The nomination must be withdrawn. And he says this woman that Avenatti is representing is not Deborah Ramirez, who is the woman who came forward via the New Yorker article yesterday with Ronan Farrow and Jane Mayer. So three? It's starting to look like Trump. I mean, Trump's got, what, 19 women now who have come forward and said that, you know, he's grabbed them and kissed them and you know, done whatever he's done. So that's going on. With regard to Rod Rosenstein, it's been, you know, I must just candidly admit, I kind of dropped the ball here. It's probably been 3 or 4 months since I have buried myself in any of these stories about the order of secession at the Justice Department. And I do remember some many months ago, maybe as much as a year ago, there was a person who was below Rosenstein who would have been considered a reliable prosecutor who either resigned or was fired or whatever, who left. And that left Rachel Brand. She would have been the next person coming in. And there was some debate about whether she was, you know, this very dispassionate person. She ended up going off to work for Walmart. Whether she was, you know, dispassionate or whether she was a right-wing hacker or was willing to be. Or what? She apparently had a good reputation. I had characterized her to a friend of mine over the weekend as a toady for Trump. I may have been wrong on that. I'm just, as I'm going through all these news articles this morning in preparation for the show, seeing that she actually, and I missed it, my bad, that she went off to work for Walmart. So, you know, who's going to replace Kavanaugh? Who's going to replace Rosenstein, if he leaves? There's some, you know, interesting speculation about that. If you want to have it long term, if you want to have, you know, somebody who's, you know, actually, you know, doing the job, who's there, all that sort of thing, then you need to have somebody who has been confirmed by the Senate in some other capacity. And because that position requires Senate confirmation. Now, there are provisions to have temporary people in there, but Josh Gerstein has written a nice piece over at Politico about this, the headline, What Happens If Trump Fires Rosenstein? And, you know, he's suggesting, number one, Trump could dump Sessions. This would be an opportunity. I think that's unlikely. Number two, I think that's unlikely before the election. Number two, he could override the established secession plan. He could take any Senate-confirmed U.S. attorney or cabinet member. He could move Betsy DeVos into this position. He could move, you know, any one of the federal judges that he just, you know, that just got through the Senate. Excuse me, any of the U.S. attorneys that he has gotten through the Senate. He could move any of them into this position. In 2001, White House counsel Alberto Gonzalez issued a memo saying the Justice Department's own secession policies take precedent over presidential decisions, but the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel reversed that in 2007. So apparently Trump can do pretty much whatever he wants. And if he follows that plan, then probably Noel Francisco would be, who is the Solicitor General, the guy who argues at the Supreme Court on behalf of the administration. He would be the guy, although the reports so far that he has no enthusiasm for it. So your thoughts on what's going on?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
What do we do? How do we respond to this? Are you going to be out in the streets? Your thoughts on all these issues right after this. Welcome back. Ted Lieu just tweeted out, the congressman from California just tweeted out, if Rosenstein departs, Noel Francisco, the guy that I was mentioning as we hit the break at the bottom of the last hour, that Noel Francisco should not, says Ted Lieu, oversee the special counsel investigation. His previous firm, Jones Day, represents the Donald Trump campaign in the special counsel investigation. This is a huge conflict of interest. Fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating stuff. There is so much going on, and it's going on so quickly. I want to check in with Common Cause with regard to all this. Stephen Spaulding is on the line with us. Stephen is the Chief of Strategy and External Affairs at Common Cause. I just retweeted, I believe it's a Common Cause tweet about the MoveOn.org effort to get hundreds of thousands of people in the street if Rosenstein is fired. CommonCause.org, of course, the website. You can tweet Stephen at SpaldingCC. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
So what do we know? And what do we know and what's going on here with regard to Rosenstein?
Well, things are very fluid right now. So I think as of now, and I'm sitting a couple blocks away from the White House, but the reports are that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein is at the White House now. Now, there's conflicting reports as to whether he already had a scheduled meeting there, what have you. Axios reported a couple hours ago, maybe just 2 hours ago, that he had offered his resignation, that there has been immediate pushback to that, saying, well, he offered it, but it wasn't accepted. Well, he might have talked about it. At the same time, of course, we know that, you know, the president has been attacking anyone that tries to hold him accountable, whether it's the people, the press, or the Department of Justice, and specifically Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein, who's Mueller's boss. So we don't know precisely what is happening now. There's conflicting reports as to whether it is a resignation or whether the president's going to attempt to fire him. I just saw some other tweets that say, hold your horses. There's many different people with many agendas here. You know, he could still be Deputy Attorney General by the end of the day. So we're watching it very closely. But to your point, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have signed up for action alerts. If the president crosses a red line and fires Mueller, fires Rosenstein, issues mass pardons, and people can find out more about that at TrumpIsNotAboveTheLaw.org. There's a lot of organizations that are part of that effort, and we're grateful to MoveOn for hosting that site.
Ah, okay, great. I didn't know if it was a MoveOn-only effort or if it was a collaborative effort.
Collaborative, yeah. Lots of groups, Common Cause, Indivisible, Public Citizen, People for the American Way. I can't name them all, but there's a lot of folks that are prepared to mobilize with peaceful protests.
Right.
If Trump crosses the line.
And who do you think, if Rosenstein is fired or quits today, do you think that Trump is just going to pull some U.S. attorney? You know, I mean, keeping in mind that, like, Chris Christie used to be a U.S. attorney. I believe Jeff Sessions maybe even used to be, that he might just pull one of these U.S. attorneys who have been confirmed by the Senate out and say, okay, now you're in charge?
Potentially. I mean, I think, we're all quickly refreshing our recollection here with the Vacancy Reform Act and who precisely takes control.
Right.
To move forward with a permanent deputy attorney general, they'd have to be confirmed by the Senate, which we know what the Senate Judiciary Committee is doing right now, dealing with the Kavanaugh nomination. There is a concern that the president will try to put someone on to whom he's, you know, extracted yet another personal loyalty pledge. And so that's why whoever would take the reins would need to, we think, publicly commit to being hands-off and having nothing to do with interfering in the investigation.
Right. Last point here. We were talking with Stephen Spaulding, Chief of Strategy and External Affairs at Common Cause, commoncause.org. The Night of the Long Knives kind of scenario. Now, that one, you know, people were actually killed. People talk about the Saturday Night Massacre, the Richard Nixon's effort. What if it's something sort of halfway in between? What if we see, and I think we've been seeing this in the federal government, where senior offices in multiple agencies, people have left and they're not being replaced. People have been fired or pushed out. Trump is rapidly reshaping the federal government in his own image in a way that even, Barry Goldwater Republicans would not recognize. Certainly Eisenhower Republicans would not recognize. At what point is it... Do we say this is it? Is it firing Rosenstein? Is that the red line? It seems to me like we've crossed so many already that a lot of this we're going to, in retrospect, be looking back at, just like the Germans did, looking back in the early 30s, going, oh yeah, that's when it started. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, and it's been complicated too because we've had a Congress that has not been exercising its power of oversight. There has not been any sort of check and balance. It's been the people and the courts to a certain extent and the press. Anyone in Congress that has the power of, the gavel, the subpoena people to conduct investigations has been completely AWOL and has been unwilling to step in and provide the check that our system is supposed to provide those people. And that's why I think it's clear. Everyone knows this, but that's why these midterms are just so critically important, because it's an opportunity, I don't want to say to hit reset, but to even begin to clean up all of the profound damage that we've been watching every single day with every single tweet, by the hour. And again, this is just part of the strategy here. We know that the breaking news about more allegations concerning Kavanaugh came out over the weekend. Is this another tactic out of the White House to distract us, to point, say, look, squirrel, look over there, to redirect all of the energy, with the sleight of hand of a magician? That is what is making this just so profoundly disturbing, because it's happening so quickly. But yes, to your point, I think there's been so many lines crossed. We're trying to, keep up with them, but when it comes to protecting the special counsel, Robert Mueller's investigation has been proceeding. There have been, I think, 36 indictments now, multiple guilty pleas, and it's been moving forward, and that's due in large part to the fact that, it's just been a really tight ship. Rosenstein has been overseeing it, but it's been moving accordingly, and of course now the president may see another opportunity to interfere. So it all comes down to being the check and balance that we have to exercise as our role, as citizens. The press has to exercise its role, and then, we need a Congress to step up and do its job.
Yeah, one last one here, Stephen, if I may. The Jane Mayer has two pieces in the New Yorker today. One of them with Ronan Farrow is about second woman who is making accusations against Kavanaugh, but the other article is a summary of a new book that just comes right out and says, if the Russians had not intervened in the election in the way they did, at the time they did, Donald Trump would not be president. Period. Full stop. You can point to a whole bunch of different things. You can point to James Comey. We know that hurt the, you can point to all these different things. But and you could argue that, well, it was Comey that really pushed it over the top. Well, yeah, because of the Russian involvement. Or it was the Russian involvement that pushed it over the top. Yeah, but that's because, obviously it was a cumulative thing. But bottom line, if the Russians had not been involved, she writes, we would not have Donald Trump in the White House. To the best of my knowledge, Stephen, there is no provision for dealing with this in the Constitution outside of impeachment. And or am I missing something? I mean, what do we do if we come to this sober conclusion that the President of the United States, it was put there by another government?
Well, a couple things. First of all, this just goes to protecting, again, the independence of the Mueller investigation. That is the center of gravity right now in light of the fact that we don't have a Congress doing its job to, especially in the House, actually, you know, investigate and hold wrongdoers accountable. So that's number one. You know, number two is, even though we've got an intransigent Congress on that front, you know, there have been places where Republicans have come together with Democrats to make recommendations to bolster security of our elections moving forward, both the mechanics of our elections, literally the machinery of our elections, but also, you know, all the disinformation efforts that people have used online to, you know, sow confusion and sow doubt and sow misinformation. So we need to clean that up too. But you're right. I mean, ultimately, when it comes to, you know, how do we deal with a situation like this, you know, the Congress has a solemn duty to hold anyone accountable for high crimes and misdemeanors. But that's only going to happen at the end, I think, of a process where we get to the bottom of this and where the American people get answers. But that's, you know, that's certainly the job, you know, of Congress. But right now, we're going to have to wait for the special counsel investigation, I think, given the situation, to get to the bottom of what it's investigating.
Yeah, yeah. It borders on, you know, salvationist thinking. You know, somebody will save us. Oh, it's going to be Mueller. But really, at the end of the day, we also have to save ourselves. Stephen Spaulding with Common Cause, one of the great groups that is saving ourselves here, helping this country, commoncause.org. Thank you, Stephen. Good talking with you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And the website, once again, is TrumpIsNotAboveTheLaw.org. And welcome back. Zach in Hollywood, California. Hey, Zach, what's on your mind? Thanks for listening. What's up?
Good morning, Tom.
Hey.
Got a metaphor for you.
Okay.
The country is Dr. Ford, and the Republican Party is Kavanaugh, right now.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, can you say crony kappa fascism? 2, can you say crony slanted corporate media? 3, can you say Koch brothers, Citizens United, Putin's puppet power grab? Now, you know, isn't treason...
You've got a meme sandwich there.
Yeah, isn't treason, Tom, isn't treason equal to insanity? I mean,
no, it's not.
Desperate, it is desperate, and it won't work. We need to hit the streets with big, giant signs that say 25th Amendment now.
Yeah. Well, the problem with the 25th Amendment is if Trump is only in power because of Russia, that means Pence is only in power because of Russia, too. And the 25th Amendment does not envision that. And for that matter, all of those people who are in his cabinet are only in, you know, only enjoying the power that they have because of the involvement of a foreign government. I mean, you know, if that's the case, and this article seems to make that case strongly. We're trying to get Jane Mayer on, or the author of the book, on about it. But
I mean, this is literally birds of a feather. They all collect together. They're all made out of the same, you know, there's no Eisenhower Republicans left.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you know, we need them, but they're not around.
No, they've died off or been pushed out. Zach, thank you for the call. Very well said, and much appreciated. Helen in Fairmont, West Virginia. Hey, Helen, you had some thoughts on Rod Rosenstein?
Well, I would hate to see Rosenstein go because I think he's a good man, and I think that Trump has already ruined a lot of good men.
Yeah.
By firing them, by talking about them, by criticizing them. I don't want to see Rosenstein go, and I don't think anybody in this country that had any sense at all would want him gone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'd like to speak to the Brett Kavanaugh thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fairly nice-looking woman when I was young. I was assaulted 4 times, the first time when I was 6. The second time when I was in my 20s, the third time when I was in my 20s, and the fourth time by my own family doctor. And everyone was aware of what this doctor did with his breast exams. He leaned over your back and gave your boobs a massage. But they thought that was okay. That was funny. I didn't think it was too funny when it happened to me. And I'll tell you, you never forget it. And what chance does a 15-year-old have of going up against somebody like probably the Kavanaugh family, who's wealthy or influential, or else he wouldn't be in Georgetown Prep? But women don't like to come forward because it's always your word against theirs. And what chance do you have when it was a man's world? It is no longer a man's world. But, and also Kavanaugh, when he came out and said that, number one, no president should be investigated while he's in office. No president should be subpoenaed while he's in office. And no president should be indicted while he's in office. Well, Donald Trump's right when he said that he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nothing would happen to him.
Yeah, yeah, apparently. And that was how Kavanaugh sold himself to Trump to get on the Supreme Court. It's interesting to watch it unravel. Helen, thank you for the call. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Gabe in Arcata, California, listening on AM 1480. Hey, Gabe, what's up?
Well, Tom, I just listened to the major news channels, and they just did something they're not supposed to do. They went to Susan Collins' office, where there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people in front of her office with signs saying, "We do not want Kavanaugh, no Kavanaugh." Mm-hmm. But they suddenly found, we're not supposed to be covering this. This is one of the stories they don't want us at. So, bang, they had technical difficulty. We never hear another word of it. So,
yeah.
I go back to the days of our old friend Alice, and your show, shows like yours, are the hope for this country, because they control the news media the same way they control electronic voting.
Yeah,
they take away our democracy. They're doing it right in front of our eyes, and there's nothing we can.
Yeah, and we will be talking about that some in our third hour, you know, these billionaires who are buying our newspapers, too, and what's going on with our media. And, yeah, Gabe, I thank you for the reminder on Alice, the very elderly woman who used to call into the program regularly with just the smartest comments, and she has since passed away, and we all miss her. Gabe, thank you.
Yeah.
Good talking to you. Thank you very much for the call. Anita in Humboldt County, California, also listening on AM 1480. Hey, Anita, what's up?
Hello. Are you aware that in 4 business days, the Violence Against Women Act is set to expire, and no one's talking about it?
No,
and
I did.
This is something
I did not know.
That will protect. No one knows. I've been calling and posting, and I got knocked off Facebook because I posted too much. It's not out there, and this is something that protects. It's Joe Biden reenacted it, and when he did, he added immigrant women, Native American women on reservations, and LGBTQ. And there's a news blackout on this. All we hear about is this Kavanaugh thing, and I understand that's important too. But this is from the front lines.
Right. Yeah. This is the law.
Is the law, and these are women that and children that are going to be just now have no legal recourse if this expires quietly.
Let me do a
and
little
I can't
digging,
believe,
Anna.
No one's talking about it. Where are the feminists?
Yeah. Well,
where
thank you. Thank you for the heads up, and please take this to Twitter. If you've got any links on this, if you want to tweet them to me, I will retweet them. We'll spread the word. I need to learn a little more about it. I did not know that it was expiring. You're right. It's like there's a blackout, if that's the case. Barbara in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, Barbara, what's up?
Well, hello, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, we have problems with water in some parts of Michigan. We have a hurricane that's in the upper part of the northern part of the Carolinas. Mm. Puerto Rico is in shambles. But yet, we are talking about this man that calls himself the President of the United States trying to get rid of the Deputy Attorney General because he does not want his family and himself to be indicted for what they're doing to this country right now.
You're right.
Now we have 3 women. See, it only took, for Bill Cosby, The women went way back years when he was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Cosby's, you know, this large, this big producer that was in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. All of a sudden, here comes this guy we've never heard of before in our lives that went to an upper echelon prep school. And preppy guys, I've been to high school, you've been to high school with the upper crust guys. They feel like they can do anything to a girl and you shut your mouth and be glad I look at you.
Yep.
No matter how it goes. This girl was 15. This woman was 15 years old. She ain't lying. They know she's not lying. The third woman, they know she's not lying. Now, Avenatti has this third, I mean, you know, another woman. She's not lying. More women are going to come out. So we want a habitual, maybe, rapist on the Supreme Court? Why?
Yeah.
So
well,
let's
you know, the Republicans want him on there. I'm sure your question was rhetorical, Barbara, but I think it's really important to note that the Republican coalition has only been able to successfully get elected with the help of the fundamentalist white Christians, the white Christian fundamentalist movement. And you know, their main pitch to those people has been, we'll get rid of abortion. We will outlaw abortion for you. And
so in other words, and excuse me for interrupting, so in other words, they're telling young men of this way, okay, any community, it is all right for you to rape a woman as long as we don't have abortion. Okay, these women get pregnant. They're supposed to keep these babies? Why?
Right. No, I get the illogic of it. I totally get the illogic of it, Barbara. And completely agree with you. It
befuddles me. Get up off yourselves, America. Especially women. When I find women that don't want to agree with a woman that has been sexually abused, there's a special place in hell for them. Vote. Vote.
There
God
you go.
God bless America. Thanks,
okay.
John.
Thank you, Barbara. Good talking with you. That was great. Norris in Louisiana. Hey, Norris. What's up?
Hey, good morning, my friend.
Hello, Norris.
Nice seeing you again on TV.
Thank you.
I was thinking to myself, when Obama got in, he was stating that he believed that in the Trump Tower, there was a wiretap on his phone by the Obama administration. Well, in the back of his mind, he knew it was still a possibility after that.
Morris, your phone has gotten strange. It sounds like maybe your thumb is halfway over the microphone or something. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Let me turn the volume up.
There we go.
Okay, you hear me better now?
I hear you a whole lot better, yeah. So
okay.
Say it again.
In the back of Trump's mind, when he accused Obama for bugging his phone in the Trump Tower,
oh, yeah.
Isn't it a possibility that he continue to believe that after the fact?
Oh, I
think
so.
I've been wishing that somebody would bug him, and I ain't never even met the man.
Yeah, and
so
you...
Between these guys that's... And probably was just joking, but between a number of them, I assume that they wish somebody would do it.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that he thought he was being bugged probably, you know, tells us that there was stuff going on there that he was concerned about the government knowing about, you know, and that was his way of talking about that. So you know, or you know, being alarmed about that, as it were. So yeah, amen. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma.
Hi, Dr. Tom. I, too, am upset with Kavanaugh's sexual history, but I also wish that people would call their senators and ask them, are they part of the group that wants to receive money from foreign dictators? Because Kavanaugh ruled in 2011 that it's legal for anybody on the planet to go ahead and create a PAC and donate to a candidate's campaign. Do we want
That's
a dictator
right.
from some weird island choosing who represents us?
Wasn't he overruled in that? Wasn't that a minority decision?
It's his attitude.
I get it. No, I completely agree. I completely agree, Anita. Excuse me, Norma. I'm sorry. It seems like that. Did that stand? Did that decision stand? Do you know?
I don't know, but if it should be appealed and come to the Supreme Court, what do we do with it?
There you go. And he's on the court. Thank you, Norma.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.